Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your mercies. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let me share a quick message with us today. And we're going to call it, Trust Not in the Arm of Flesh. Amen. But trust in the Lord. So, trust not in the arm of flesh. So let's start here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. And I'm going to read just a few verses there. I have a few other scriptures to read to us, to share with us. And you will understand the importance of this in just a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 17, let me start at verse 5. And this is the Lord speaking. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now that's not a good thing when the Lord says something as strong as that. But it's a warning to every one of us. Cursed, he said, is the man that puts his trust in man, makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. What's going to happen to that man? Well, he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, that's not a good place. Be desolate. That's what the Lord is saying for the person that puts their trust in the arm of flesh rather than in the Lord, and their heart departs from the Lord. But let's look at the bright side. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. What is the reward of such a relationship with God? For he shall be as a tree that's planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now, if I read anything that resonates with you, you're free to say amen. Amen. Now, let me read the blessings again of that person that puts their trust in the Lord. And if you hear anything that resonates with you, feel free to say amen to that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree that is planted by the waters, amen, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Amen. And he shall not see when heat cometh, amen, but her leaf shall be green. Amen. And he shall not even be careful, you know, in the year of drought. He shall never cease from yielding its fruit. Amen. That's a blessing for the person that puts their trust in the Lord. So the Lord gives us two sides of the coin. You know, the one whose hearts depart from the Lord and thinks that they can do it by themselves. Well, we saw, you know, the story about that one. But then the one that puts their trust in the Lord, we saw all the benefits that the Lord laid out here. I'm going to read a few stories from the Bible to illustrate this point a little further so that we can all see what the Lord is trying to tell us today. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. And there is a wonderful story here. It's in a couple of different places in the Bible, but I'm just going to read this part of it. I'm just going to read two verses here, but you can read the whole chapter. It's a wonderful, wonderful story of how God saved Judah from the hand of Sennacherib. And some of you may know that story. If you don't know it, I don't have time to tell it today. But in any case, let's read verses 7 and 8. This is all that I want to read, in that chapter today. Here's what Hezekiah said. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, you know, when you're surrounded by all kinds of problems, this guy was surrounded by multitudes and millions in the army and so forth, and they outnumbered Judah completely. You know, but, you know, let's see what he says in verse 8. With him, that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you, any time that you can, you know, get in the fight, but make it God's fight, you are going to come out on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
If you can make it, there's a beautiful story about how, you know, they made it God's fight, you know, and they just told the Lord, you know, of course, those people cut out all the other nations. Of course, they threw their gods in the fire because they were no gods. But thou art the God, the very God. Now rise up and fight for your name. And when you tell God like that, he's going to stand up on your behalf. Amen. So, you know, he told them, you know, and he said, the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. You know, so Hezekiah made a comparison. He said, look, with that guy is the arm of flesh. But with us is the living God. Now, he put his trust in the arm of flesh, but we are going to put our trust in the Lord. Amen. And well, you know, the end of that story is that the Lord fought the battle for Judah. And it was amazing what God did, but I'm not going to go into all of that on account of time. Now, let's read in Proverbs chapter 3. And this is a wonderful scripture that I've always loved, you know, from a long time, ever since I knew it. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's read from verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. I don't think that you've got the answers. You know, don't try to, you know, use your own human understanding only, but trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think that you have it all. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. And he said, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, so this is a blessing again for, you know, when we put our trust in the Lord and when we are not relying upon our own knowledge. Now, in a few minutes, I will be applying this to personal situations in life. But first, I want to bring the Word of God, you know, that tells us what to do and what not to do. And then let's see how we apply it to our lives. Now, in this message also, I want to show that, you know, with God, less can sometimes be more. Amen. Let me say that again. With God, less can be more. And God does not need to save with many or with few or anything like that. It doesn't mean anything to him. You know, God can have one person and it can be a majority already. Amen. You know, so, you know, a little with God can become, you know, a thousand. And a small one with him can become a great nation. He can do all these things. And God can take the wisdom of this world and take the foolish things to confound even the great and mighty wisdom. I mean, he is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's trust in him. Let me read a couple of stories for us in the Bible here to illustrate this point further. And then let's bring out something that the Lord wants us to hear. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, there is a story here, you know, that brings out this point about, you know, God doesn't, you know, necessarily have to look at. You don't have to look at the numbers that are against you because you got more on your side. But most of the time, people don't recognize that. They don't recognize that there's more, especially if you are in the Lord. There's always more with you than be against you. Amen. 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 Now, you may look at this world today. It may look like the world is a gloomy place, and there's all kinds of evil on the rise, and so on and so forth. You know, and the devil is thriving and all of that. But let me tell you something. Let me tell the devil something. I always got news for the devil. That devil can never have majority. Amen? Because God is the creator, and the devil himself is made for the day of evil. And he knows where he's going to end up. God always has more people. It may not look like it to you, but God always has more. Even that great devil called the great dragon, when he would draw the stars of heaven down and go in a mutiny against God, he could only get 1/3 of the stars of heaven. 2/3 remain faithful to the Lord. Amen. And God will always have more people than the devil. I don't care what it looks like, but the Lord, he is the Lord. So the Lord always has majority. All you have to do is read Revelation chapter 7. And as the eye, as far as the eye could see, you know, and as the sands of the sea. And John looked and he said, who are these that are arrayed with white linen? Where did they come from? And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. And have made their robes white, washed them in the blood of the Lamb. And they were numberless. I mean, they were like sands of the sea. Well, they did go through the great tribulation, but nonetheless, the Lord, through all the gleanings of how he's going to get his people, he always has more than the devil. Amen. Now, that's not entirely my subject today, but just to let you know that the Lord always has more than the devil. The Syrian army was sent to capture the man of God, Elisha, because, you know, he always, when the Syrian king was planning something in his house, Elisha would reveal his secret on the other side. And one day the king said, well, gee, you know, who's the traitor here that's always telling our plans to our enemy? And then someone said, well, there's nobody betraying you. It's just that there is a prophet in Israel. And what you're whispering in your room, he tells it to the people on the other side. You know, I say, wow. So he got us up army and so forth like that. So anyway, that's one story. But there's another story here, you know, that I want to look at. So let me just read verse 15. I don't want to get away from this story here. In verse 15, he said, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, there was an host compassed about the city, both with horses and chariots. You know, they came to arrest Elisha, the prophet. You know, and so this man, the servant of the man of God, runs to him and say, my master, what are we going to do? There's a lot of things against us here. You know, he see the camp of armies surrounding them. You know, and the man of God said to him, well, don't be afraid, he said in 2 Kings 6 and verse 16. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. Now, of course, the servant, all he saw was the army that surrounded them. And he was like, have you been drinking or something? All I see here, the army and so forth. But the Lord was going to show us something. So Elisha prayed for the man that his eyes would be open so that he can see the same way that Elisha was seeing. And when he looked, he opened his eyes and the young man saw chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen. Now, you may not see it or you may not know it, but he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you walk in with the king, you've got your own secret service agents. Praise the Lord. You got your own secret service detail. You know, and, sometimes they call it the angel of the Lord. Sometimes they call it chariots of fire. Whatever they call it, the Lord has given them charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Not just some of your ways, folks. He will keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. So you should never be afraid. In fact, the Bible says that the righteous is bold as a lion. Amen. Because you know that he that is with you is greater than he that's without. Now, sometimes with the eye of flesh, all you can see is trouble. And all you can see is all kinds of things that are not going right. But all you have to do is look unto Jesus and know that what the Lord has going for you is actually more than what the devil has going against you. Amen. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the scripture tells us something of this, of a similar nature. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, you know, now, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome the world, basically. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The Lord is always greater. So let's not give the devil any credit and any of this glory and so forth like that. You know, that devil is a defeated foe and he is going to hell. Amen. That's where he's going. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel, let me quickly read these stories where they show that the strength and the power and the victory of God does not come with the numbers or the arm of flesh. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14, this is the story of Jonathan, the son of Saul, and something that happened, you know, let me just quickly read it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, I'm just going to read verse 6. It's an interesting story, but this is what he says, and I want you to know that the Lord, he doesn't need numbers in order to save. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, you know, they were going against the Philistines, and Jonathan and his armor bearer went, and Jonathan said, well, if this happens, we call to them, they say this or that, and so forth, we'll know the Lord has given them into our hand. But here's what he said. And Jonathan said to the young man that bears his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. How many of you can say praise the Lord? God is not constrained, whether it's many and so forth. In fact, there's a beautiful story in Judges chapter 7. In the book of Judges chapter 7, some of you may know the story about Gideon's army. Gideon had 32,000 men, but they were too many as far as the Lord was concerned. You know, so let's just read one verse out of Judges chapter 7. Let's read verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel should bound themselves up against me, saying, my own hand or the arm of flesh has saved me. So the Lord said, look, I'm not going to let Israel go into this thing with 32,000. Otherwise, they will say, well, it was because we had a sheer show of force and we had enough numbers against our enemies. That's what gave us the victory. So the Lord said, these people are too many. Send them home. And God began to prune it down as the story went. Prune them down. Prune them down. Prune them down. Finally, God, only 300. And the Lord said, with these 300, I will give Israel the victory. Amen. Amen. Now, 300 went up against thousands, hundreds of thousands, and they got the victory because the Lord does not, it's no restraint with the Lord to save with many or by few. And those that depend in the arm of flesh, they go up against the things that they are facing by their own understanding. And maybe you win, maybe you won't. But if you go in the name of the Lord, you will win. Amen. It's a beautiful story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not going to read it because many people know the story. But in 1 Samuel, you know, beautiful story there. And, you know, David goes up against Goliath. And David finally said, look, you come against me with all these things and so forth, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, the Philistine army, they were large. They had a large champion, Goliath, that was, you know, shoulders above everybody else. And there was nobody. And he taunted Israel for many, many days. And nobody could rise up to fight against him until David came. But David, a little shepherd boy, when he came upon the scene, he was not going to go into the fight with the armor flesh. Amen. Now, the king called David and said, well, try on my armor and so on. You know, and he tried, he couldn't even move. And that was the arm of flesh. And David said, look, let me go to the place where I'm comfortable. So he goes back to the brook. The brook was the place where David began to, you know, write some of his songs, and where he would know about the Lord, where he would see great things. The Lord would show him visions, and he would write about the Lord and so forth. So he went back to the brook, and he would probably sing a few songs, you know, got the anointing come upon him, and so he picked out a few stones, and he was ready to go. Of course, you know, they said to him, you can't do that. But David said, yes, I can. Amen. Because the Lord is with me. Praise the Lord. Because everybody else, you were looking at it in the arm of flesh. But David was going into it with the arm and the strength of the Lord. And that made a big difference for him, and he come out on the winning side. You know the story. I don't want to take too much time into that. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Right. Everything that God would do for us, if we try to go against the things that we're facing by the strength of our own power or our own mind or understanding, we may fail. But when we trust in the Lord, we will always come out on the winning side. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Let's look at how the Lord gets him the victory. Psalm 98 verse 1. I love this man David because he always puts good context into the things that he says. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Now, it is the Lord, you know, and the Lord, you know, if you know how to praise the Lord will flex his arm on your behalf. Amen. That's what David was saying. The Lord flexed his arm. David saw those, my biceps. And he said, well, his right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. Because David, he knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. And he knew how to praise the Lord. And when he did, he got God to stand up on his behalf. Now, let's see also Psalm 44 and verse 6. This is David denouncing the fact that he's not going to go into anything by his own power or by his own strength. Psalm 44 and verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Amen? But what's he going to do? Well, he said, the Lord has saved us from our enemies. So he always puts his trust in the Lord rather than, you know, putting his trust in the arm of flesh. In Isaiah 53 and verse 1. I'm coming to the end of these scriptures, and then there's a few other things I want to say. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, and who has believed our report? The arm of the Lord. You know, so this message is about trusting not in the arm of the flesh, but trusting in the arm of the Lord. So you might say it is the arm of the Lord versus the arm of flesh. Which one are you going to pick? Well, most people pick the arm of flesh. When we have a situation, it is a lot easier for most people to run to somebody else than to run to the Lord. Or perhaps because they don't see the Lord, but that's just because you have broken your walk with him. If you are lockstep with the Lord, he's always there with you. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 8 and 29, I am not alone. My Father who sent me is with me. He has never left me, because I do always those things that please him. Now, if you're with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, he's always there with you. And you should, you know, communicate and run to the Lord first, rather than run to somebody else. But you know why people don't, you know, run to the Lord and so forth like that? Well, when I was a young man, one of the first few things we learned about this Bible, we sang some songs in learning Sunday school and so forth. It said, Lord, this Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. You know, when their ways and their hearts and their conscience is seared, it keeps them from following the Lord. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2. It says, the arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his, you know, his strength has never failed him, you know, that, you know, he cannot save. And his ear is not heavy or dull that he cannot hear. Why is the reason then that we don't have the victory? Well, he said, because your sins have separated between you and your God. You know, so the Lord is always there. His arm is not shortened. But when people don't walk in the light, they have a tendency, you know, to be drawn to the ways and the arms of flesh rather than the arm of the Lord. Now, in your troubles and whatever challenges you face, keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. There's a story in 2 Chronicles 20, and I preached from it from time to time. I love it, but I'm going to read only one verse. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Just one verse. The beginning of your miracle in the face of whatever challenge you are going through is when you can put your eyes squarely on the Lord. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? I mean, there's a great battle here. You know, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that came against Jehoshaphat and Judah and so on. But here's what he said. For we have no might against this great company. I mean, the arm of flesh, we don't have power against them. And we don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee, O Lord. And that's the beginning of your victory. When you can put your eyes upon the Lord. And never mind, you know, what you can accomplish by yourself and so on, you know. Put your eyes on the Lord. That's the beginning of your victory. Amen. Now, let me talk to us for just a few minutes. I finished the scriptures that I wanted to read. Let's bring this to our personal lives. What is it that you are going through today? There is a myriad of problems that we face from day to day. And there's various things that, you know, we come across in our lives. You know, and there can't be hardly a day that passes that something does, you know, there's not some kind of challenge to overcome. But how do we go about overcoming these things? Are we going to use our understanding? Just analyze your situation. What is it that you want? What is it that you are hoping? What is the change that you are looking for in your life? What is it that you want the Lord to do for you? Well, remember I said, want the Lord to do for you, not just what is it that you want to accomplish. You know, the way some people think is, these are the things I'm going to accomplish. Well, that's great. That's trusting in the arm of flesh. But if you look at it this way, these are the things I want the Lord to do for me. Amen. Then the Lord is going to see that you are trusting fully in him. Now, it could be whatever your situation. You know, perhaps you're out of work. Perhaps you're looking for a better job. Perhaps you know, whatever it is, you know, that you want, just put your situation there. There's some people that have a challenge and so forth. Even on your job, maybe you have a challenge. You know, maybe there's opposition. Maybe there's conflict. Maybe there's just things that you're facing that you can't seem to get past it. And everywhere you turn, it seems like the devil is just up against you, hitting a brick wall all the time. I want to ask us and I want to admonish us today and encourage us to look unto the Lord and not trust in the arm of flesh. Do not depend upon what you can do for you. Now, there are some things that we must do for ourselves. There are some things that God's not going to do for you. And if you listen to any of our sermons at all over time, you know that, you know, we don't try to spiritualize things. The things you have to do for yourself. Even when Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. There's all these things you must do. But even when you are doing it, you have to rely completely upon the Lord. If you don't, and you take your eyes away from the Lord, then the situation is going to overwhelm you. Peter jumped right out into the sea when he saw Jesus walking on the sea. Lord, is that you? If it's you, let me come and join you. And the Lord said, come on over. And he jumped right into the sea. And for a few moments, he actually did walk on the water. But when he saw that the waves were boisterous, the Bible said, well, the waves were there the whole time. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he kept walking. But when he looked away from the Lord and looked to the waves, then he was like, oh my goodness, I can't swim. Blah, 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 blah. And he began to drown. Well, you knew you couldn't swim before, but you were walking on the water because you kept your eyes on the Lord. Amen. That was just a joke. But, you know, the moment he left looking on the Lord and looking to the overwhelming waves that were high, then he began to drown. And the Lord, of course, he had enough sense in his head to cry out to the Lord. Now, no matter where situation, what situation you find yourself in, if you cry out to the Lord for his mercy, that is one prayer that he can never turn down. Amen. The Lord reached out and he saved him. Today, I want to ask us to not lean upon our own understanding. There are a number of things I wanted to enumerate here, but on account of time, I'm going to just abbreviate. Now, you know your own situation. And just look into your life. What is it that you are facing right now? And perhaps there is something that you have been facing for a little longer than, you know, what you thought was usual. Or perhaps, you know, you're beginning to, the thing is going beginning to wear you out, or whatever it is. I want you today to turn your focus from looking at what, you know, you could accomplish by yourself. Turn your focus from the arm of the flesh to looking onto the Lord and what he can do for you. Praise the Lord. And remember also, there is nothing that God cannot do. He can take a little and make it a lot. Now, some people think it's only until when they have a lot that the Lord can do anything. Well, he's already proved that over and over in the scriptures. And there are many people that are sitting here today that have seen that in their lives. Jesus, one day, he took a little boy's lunch. It was just two small loaves and five small fishes. And he took that lunch that they gave to him, and he used it to feed thousands of people. Because in the hands of the master, a little sack lunch can become something great. Amen. And everybody's saying, well, you know, 200 pennies of worth of bread cannot even buy any. What are we going to do? I mean, where are we going to find all the bread to feed all these people? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Whatever you have is already enough. Just bring it to me. Amen. You know, you may think that those are just fables, but it is real. I have experienced that in real life. I'm going to tell you a short story now. Many years ago, in 1974, I was in a place called Federal School of Science in Lagos. And we were preparing to have a miracle rally and love feast. And we were students, and we didn't have any money. And we prayed, and the Lord, everybody brought their little allowance and stuff. I went to my brother, and I got 5 naira. That's the currency they spend in that country. And that was my donation. That's all I had. 5 naira. Well, it was good money then, but that's all it was. And some people had this and that and so forth, but it wasn't a whole lot. And we made some sandwiches and stuff like that. We didn't have a lot of money to do everything that we wanted to do. And we thought, well, gee, you know, I think we prepared something that we thought could feed about 2 or 3 dozen people, a little more. And we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in that place. And I don't know how the Lord did it, but I remember till this day that everybody ate and we had plenty left over. Amen. And there was just, I mean, it was just a handful of stuff. But I remember that we prayed. You know, we said, look, Lord, this is all we got. But we're going to have this love feast. There's going to be so many people coming, you know, and so forth like that. And we want you to bless it. And we reminded the Lord of the things that he had done, that he's done. You've done things like that before. You can take this, you can bless it. And I remember saying in my heart that, well, Lord, I mean, you took just a small boy's lunch. I've got more than that here. If you can do that, then you can do more. And the Lord did more. Amen. That's the truth if I ever told it. You know, and you will be accountable for every word you say. And the Lord, he multiplied that thing. You know, I don't know how he did it. There was lots and lots of people, and they ate and ate, and there was lots and lots left over. And we didn't even have enough to feed probably 3 dozens, but there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, and the Lord just did it. But you have to put your eyes on the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. If there is something that you are believing God for, or something that you have been believing God for, perhaps you've been going about it the wrong way. Perhaps you have been depending upon the arm of flesh. Well, there are some things that you have to do for yourself, like I said. But the victory, ultimate victory, comes from the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
The ultimate victory comes always from the Lord. Even in our health, we have to take care of certain things and so forth. But divine health and divine healing ultimately comes from the Lord. Amen. Now, so I want us to take just a minute of introspect. And there's not a single person in here that doesn't have a need. There's something that we need the Lord to do for us. And the focus on that the Lord should do for us. That's the focus this morning. It might be in any area of your life. I'm going to ask you to take a minute in prayer. And as you focus on the thing that you want. Don't let your mind stray. You know, the reason sometimes people don't get results in prayer is they don't pray specific prayers. Their prayers are not effectual because it's all over the place. But it's a fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Your prayer to be effectual must zero in and focus on specifics. Don't just say, Lord, bless me, and so on and so forth. He has already blessed you. What is the specific thing that you want the Lord to do? Because then when he does it, you have a testimony. Amen. So let's take a minute and focus on the specific thing that we want the Lord to do. And perhaps we have been trying to accomplish it all by yourself. Maybe you've been going about the situation that you are facing by just your own strength and your own wisdom. But I want you to turn it over to the Lord today and don't lean upon the arm of flesh, but lean upon the Lord. I want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to ask anybody out in front today. I want to close this service in a few minutes. But that my faith may connect with yours. If you need the Lord to help you sort out some situation in your life, I want you to put up your hand and I'm going to ask the Lord to help you. And I'm going to believe the Lord with you. When we raise our hands to the Lord, it's a sign of asking for his help. You know, a young child always will lift up their hands to the mother or the parent or whoever when they want to be carried. When you want the Lord to carry you, that's when you lift up your hands to the Lord. If there's anybody here this morning that wants the Lord to carry them through some situation that they are facing, I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. Not to me, just lift up your hands to the Lord. And I'm going to believe the Lord with you. Hallelujah. And don't be looking around. Don't worry about somebody else. And as you believe the Lord for just a minute. Now, remember also, when we ask all things soever that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And when you stand in prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, what things soever you desire, when you pray, at the time that you pray, that's the time that you believe. And then leave the rest to God. And when you say it, do not doubt it, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass. Then you shall have whatsoever you say. If you believe that, you can say amen. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we say to the mountains that we have faced or are facing now, that even though the mountain looks big and insurmountable, going against the mountain by the arm of flesh will be impossible, but that's the arm of flesh. Today, we put our trust in the Lord for victory. Amen. And I will share quickly, this just came to mind. I didn't have this in my head at all when I was thinking about this exhortation. When you stand, so something the Lord revealed to me a long time ago. When you stand beneath a mountain, you know, it looks overwhelming because you're just a small thing beneath that mountain. But if you take a few steps or several steps back or walk back long enough that you can see the gradient and you can see the top of that mountain, it probably doesn't look so big anymore. And then all you have to do is see the Lord open your eyes, which he did to me one day, and see this colossal figure that is standing astride that mountain. And the mountain that looked so big all of a sudden doesn't look so big anymore. Because there is this one huge figure that just completely dwarfs the mountain. But I had to stand far back enough to be able to see that by the gradient. Because when I was right beneath, I couldn't see it. And your eyes have to be upon the Lord to get the victory from the Lord. Amen. Father, Lord, we turn it over to you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, take the burdens. The Bible says, cast your burdens upon him, for he careth for you. And the Lord, he will carry you. Amen. Amen. He will carry you because he knows how to do that. He will carry you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but you must put all your trust in the Lord. Now, you may be looking for another job. Maybe you want something better. Maybe you want the Lord to do something for you. Maybe you are looking for this or that. Maybe there's a family situation. Maybe there's a work situation. Maybe you are in school. Maybe there's a challenge with your studies. Maybe whatever it is. You know, whatever it is, the Lord is greater. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says there is a name that is given to the name. I mean, there's power that is given to the name of Jesus. God has highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name. That in every situation, in everything, every knee must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we take that victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We take the victory. Hallelujah. Now, when you give it to the Lord, leave it on the Lord's table. Let him take care of it. Amen. You know, if the Lord is driving the car, don't struggle the steering wheel with him. Otherwise, you're going to get in a crash. Amen. Let him drive. And he'll take care of business. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I want you to put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.